Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
It is City Council Day here on the Andy Griffin Show. There are four candidates, and two of them will be city council members. Once again, it could be Natalie Larson and Michelle Tanner. They're the incumbents, and Natalie is with me right now. Hi, Natalie. How are you?
I'm so good today, Andy. Happy to be here.
Appreciate you being here. Are you a Halloween person, by the way? You're going to get dressed up and everything tomorrow? I'm not really. My wife is, so it's kind of a weird thing.
I'm a Thanksgiving person.
Okay.
Ooh, I love my grandkids. I have the cutest little grandkids who like to dress up, and that's a lot of fun, but I like Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is just a great holiday where family gets together and no gifts, just enjoying company.
All right. Well, so Natalie is here, and then we'll be followed. Jamie Levitt will come on second, and then Greg Aldred and Michelle Tanner will wrap up the hour. And the idea is for if you're out there thinking, okay, who do I vote for? I'm not sure. You'll get to hear each candidate for about 12 minutes, just kind of talk about who they are. We'll start with Natalie. Natalie, tell us about yourself and about what you've been doing the last few years as a city council person.
Well, I'm going to tell a little bit about age here. You know, I'm a native to Southern Utah, but I've been a resident of St. George for about 59 years. So I grew up here. The slip and slide was the moss in the ditch back in the day. So I've seen a lot of changes in this community. I have the ages covered. I have a 2-month-old granddaughter and a 95-year-old mom who all live in St. George City. And so I see the demographic across the board. I've loved serving on city council. It's been an honor and a privilege, and meeting my community members where they're at. I've worked with PTA presidents from Snow Canyon High School to just recently down at Desert Canyons on crosswalks. And those are nothing we vote on. Those are just actively advocating for the community members, whether it's a small business owner or just a resident with a concern. I feel like I've shown up, I've been there, and I've worked for the residents because that's what a council person does.
Very good. Natalie, St. George, obviously one of the fastest growing metropolitan areas in the whole world, really, and certainly in the country. But with growth becomes, there are growing pains, right? We'll talk about traffic in a minute, but right now let's talk about water. We live in the desert. There's not a lot of water. Do you have some plans or some ideas about growth? I mean, I'm sure you heard people say, oh, shut the door. Don't let anybody else in. We're getting too big. What are your thoughts on the growth versus water here in Southern Utah?
Well, St. George is in a unique position because we have a lot of our own water, and that resource is priceless, but we have to look at the region. I know that said, like, we live in an arc, we all have to be rowing the same direction. This is true. We are all a part of the water district, so we have to be mindful of that. But I think we have to look at the technology and education that are in place and will be put in place. And we don't really know where that technology is going, as far as people don't love when I talk about wastewater, but that is a big part of the picture with water in our region, of how we treat that, where we store it, because that's when we're depleted, is in the middle of the summer. And if we have adequate storage, that's going to be a lot of help. And as we treat that wastewater and bring it back to that storage, it's going to alleviate a lot of that pressure.
All right. Let's talk about traffic a little bit. I was recently in Salt Lake, and yeah, St. George is nothing compared to State Street in Salt Lake, but still, we do have our own unique traffic situations. If you'll talk a little bit about traffic in St. George and what maybe solutions you have in mind, and then also maybe cap that off talking about the Northern Corridor.
When we look at traffic in St. George, we have a unique situation because we have I-15, which we are still advocating for getting those underpasses through and getting funding for those. So hopefully that takes some of the pressure off 700 South and Riverside Drive and River Road as people. And then, of course, the 1450 South extension, which is also known as George Washington Boulevard.
Yeah.
That will take some pressure off both River Road and Riverside Drive. As we look at Bluff Street, I think that is one thing we have to really look hard at. And then we have to get Gap Canyon built. We have to do that to alleviate that off Dixie Drive, that traffic off Dixie Drive. And then we look at the Northern Corridor. That should have been built. That is just one lawsuit after another one. I think we have to be careful. I think if you look at residents who live in our area, we all care about where we live and the environment where we live. and we're respectful of that. If you drive through the reserve and how clean and pristine that is, but we have to alleviate the traffic out of downtown St. George. That's really where the pinch point is. It is our historic district. It is, we have a walking school down there with Legacy Elementary. And what will that change for the people that live downtown and the businesses and the small businesses that call that home?
All right. I have five kids, Natalie, and four of them do not live in St. George anymore. They grew up and they had to go somewhere else for two reasons. Number one, better wages elsewhere and affordability of housing. Will you talk a little bit about St. George and housing affordability and the kind of the unique problem we have, and is there an answer to it?
You know, that's a tough question. I believe in private property rights, and I think we're going to see hopefully some changes with the ADU ordinance that St. George City just passed that's going to allow housing to happen with
ADU, by the way, accessory dwelling unit, like a mother-in-law apartment or a little cottage.
Yeah, and we've left some flexibility in that if you're the senior couple and you have the big house and you want to move to a smaller home because you want to manage less home, you can actually rent the bigger home out front, or you can have your kids live there. So I think that is one thing we're doing. We're always looking at ways to change ordinances to give a little more flexibility to home ownership. And what was the second part of that question?
What can be done about housing affordability? Are condos the answer? More apartment buildings? I know Washington City has really embraced apartments. There's a lot of them there on South Telegraph.
I think we have to look at it all. And I think when we do that, the city does not bring things to builders and say, do this. We are looking for solutions within that community. And I work with the League of Cities and Towns. I listened to that call yesterday. And as you listen to that, what is working in Northern Utah and what do we want to stay with? Like, we do not necessarily want to be the next Salt Lake City. That's, right. We're St. George. We want to keep that uniqueness. We want to keep that culture. But how can we retain our youth here and create the jobs? I mean, that's part of that goes hand in hand.
Right.
I had kids move away. They've lived in New York and Chicago and Boston, and they've all came back and kind of work remotely.
Okay. I want to ask you a little bit about, I'm going to say two words, and you know what they are, Dixie Spirit. What does that mean, and how can we retain that as we continue to grow and grow and grow? Is the Dixie Spirit still alive, and how can we keep it alive?
That's kind of an emotional moment for me, you know.
Yeah.
My mother's great-grandparents were original settlers to Southern Utah, and they moved to Summit after their 10 years was up because there was no air conditioning back in those days.
It was hot.
My family moved here when I was 3 years old, and my dad was athletic director at Dixie Junior College. I spent a lot of time at that junior college in that gym, and I caught the Dixie Spirit in a big way. And you look at what's happening, no matter what happens in our community, when there is a flood, when there's a tragedy, that Dixie Spirit comes out in a big way. And we've got to be able to say that. We've got to be able to embrace that. And it is such a core of who we are, of pooling our resources and making this a better community.
Part of the Dixie Spirit is that volunteering for all the big events that we have here, the St. George Marathon, the Huntsman World Senior Games. We used to have the Ironman. As you look at these big events that come into town, they alter, at least for a day or two, the face of the city. Do you like these events, and do you think that St. George City benefits from them enough to make it worth the inconvenience?
I've got asked about the Ironman just recently, and it was a resident push to let go of the Ironman because the city was fatigued. This is a very busy time of year, and the residents just said, we need a break. When I look at the Snow Canyon half marathon coming up and the marathon, those are only great events because our residents are there cheering people on. And people come and they say, wow, this is something else. This community is something else. But part of that volunteerism is checking on your neighbor. Being the good neighbor, building the neighborhood you want. If you move into the new neighborhood and somebody comes over and brings you a plate of cookies, that's part of that Dixie Spirit. That is trying to get to build that connection in your neighborhood. And that's really where it starts.
Are you, do you feel like you've changed over the last 4 years as a city council person? Have you grown and learned a lot? How is Natalie Larson different from what she was a few years ago?
I see so much goodness in this community. Like, I always knew it was a great community, but the civic clubs, are remarkable. The Interfaith Council is remarkable. We have so many great citizens, just like you, Andy, who are community builders, who are doing the right thing, not for accolade, not to get their name on the plaque, but just doing the right thing. And I always suggest to people, if you want to connect to your community, join a civic club. Be a part of Rotary. Be a part of Exchange Club. Be a part of the Elks Club. Those people, I'm going to miss some of those, but those people really are community builders, and they are just doing it for all the right reasons.
Natalie Larson running for city council for a second term as city council. And Natalie, I guess we need to inform, if you still have your ballots, we hope they still do, and they're listening to the candidates today, they need to probably be turned in person right now. You don't want to mail them.
You want to get those in right now. It's a process to get those ballots there, and it is a big process to do it. So the sooner you get your ballot in, the more accurate, or not accurate, but the sooner we'll know the end of that election. You can still vote in person if you're one of those people.
Right.
Head down to the Dixie Center today and vote in person, or drop your ballot off at the county offices, mm-hmm. or at the county library. But just turn it in. Even if you don't vote for me, vote. It's your right.
Very good. Natalie Larson. Thank you, Natalie. Did a great job today. Appreciate you.
Thanks.
We'll take a quick time out. Jamie Levitt is on deck. Good morning, everybody. 922 on KDXU. Jamie Levitt in the house now. Hi, Jamie. How are you?
Hi, Andy. I'm doing really great. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for coming on the show today. I appreciate it. You're one of the challengers for the city council position.
I am, yes.
There are four people now that have made it through the primary and two positions available. Jamie is hoping to be in one of those two spots.
Yes.
Jamie, tell us a little bit about yourself and why you think you'd be a good city council person. First, tell us about yourself.
Okay, perfect. Well, I'm Jamie Levitt. I am a small business owner here in St. George.
Okay.
I'm a mom. I'm raising four kids. That was really kind of the reason I got into this race.
How old are your kids, by the way?
My oldest is 13, and then I have an 11-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 5-year-old.
Oh, you're right in the thick of it, aren't you?
Right in the thick of it. But, you know, I think that gives me the perspective that's missing right now. So I have a front row seat to the challenges that mm-hmm. people my age are facing with housing, affordability, all of these things. And I'm raising these kids here, and I want to make sure St. George stays a place that has the same exceptional quality of life that we've come to know. And
Good. How long have you been in Southern Utah?
Yeah, so I moved here in 2020 when my husband got his job at Valley Women's Health. He's an OBGYN here. So we both are born and raised in Utah,
nice.
Met at SUU, and then, like a lot of people my age, had to leave the state of Utah and go get education and training, and came back in 2020 when he joined his practice.
Well, I'm glad you're here. You mentioned having a young family is part of the reason you feel like that you would make a good city council person. Anything else?
Yeah, well, I think that being a millennial helps. I'm the youngest person in the race, and I've built a lot of really great relationships in my advocacy work. I'm a longtime volunteer. I was raised in a house that valued public service. My mom was the mayor of my town that I grew up in. And, and so I was just brought up in respecting kind of civic engagement and being involved. And I'd like my kids to see that and model that for them.
One of the big issues in St. George has been, I mean, obviously St. George is one of the fastest growing cities in the whole country. We live in the desert, though. So you've got those kind of two things against you. You've got a bunch of people coming in and a very limited, finite amount of water. Are you pro-growth? And what do you say to someone who says, wow, they should shut the door and not let anybody else in?
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people have anxiety about this. It's mm-hmm. it's like the chief concern I hear as I talk to residents is, how do we balance growth? How do we balance our quality of life and also acknowledge the limitations of the scarcity of our resources, especially water?
Yeah.
And what I would say to them is, I think we can be disciplined in our development. I think we can be disciplined and mindful about growth without shutting the door. This is a huge issue in my hometown, open space. It's a tiny little place, and we have similar challenges here where we can't just keep growing outwards. We love our vistas. We love our landscapes. We don't want those developed, but we are highly desirable because St. George has worked really hard to become a place that people love. And it's a testament to why we're having the struggles we are.
Now, I was in Salt Lake a couple of weekends ago. Traffic there was unbelievably bad. You know, everybody says there's a traffic problem in St. George. Well, go drive State Street in Salt Lake, you'll see traffic. Or maybe if you've been out to California. But we do have some traffic issues. And one of them is, you know, kind of the funneling of all the traffic through the middle of St. George. Northern Corridor right now is proposed. But what are your thoughts on the Northern Corridor and just in general traffic in St. George?
Yeah, the Northern Corridor is definitely something that comes up. And as it stands right now with the plans that I've seen, I've sat down with our former county attorney. I've had him walk me through it and show me all the different routes. It really does feel like we are at a point where we need some alleviation of traffic. Right. But most importantly, I want to protect Zone 6 because that's a part of this whole deal. Mm-hmm. And I think in order, it looks like that the development of the Northern Corridor is likely going to happen. And so I think we should be a proponent of that while looking for preservation in other places and okay. also other solutions around the city.
I was going to say traffic here in town. Are they doing a good job of managing traffic? And if not, or if even if they are there other things that need to be done, do you think?
I think there are other things that need to be done. I think, you know, traffic is one of the indicators that you've got some growth problems. And I think, you know, we have 70 miles of trail that we've developed here in St. George. Mm-hmm. And I think having some active alternative transportation routes that promote biking and getting people around town, not just in cars, is one of the ways we could do that. I think we can look at improving our SunTrans system and actually making it something that is convenient and a usable system. Right now, I don't think that it is for most people.
I think you ask most people, they've never even been on a SunTrans.
Oh, no. Yeah. Yeah, when I first started this campaign, I actually went out on the SunTrans because I'm like, well, how hard would it be to get across town on this without a cell phone, a couple dollars in my pocket? Yeah. And it was really hard. It's hard to navigate. Wow. And so I think there's room for improvement, and I think things like that could definitely help.
All right. Now, I have, Jamie, I have five kids. Four of them do not live in St. George anymore because they grew up and they said, I can't live here. I can't afford a house. Or if I can't afford a house, I'm not getting paid enough to support my kids. And so they all live in northern Utah now, except for my one son. That presents some issues, of course, housing affordability and wages. Is there anything that, as a city council person, we can do about these things?
Yeah, well, we're limited in things like wages and building housing. You know, I always like to think, you know, the city sets the conditions and kind of sets the table, if you will, and lets the free market cook and kind of build what we need.
Makes sense.
I have a lot of friends who are like your kids who have to leave and get jobs. A lot of people live out of state, and I'm part of the Leadership Dixie Academy Board, which is a youth group that is focused on retaining our kids and trying to teach them the value of St. George. And that's one of the main thing is retention. How do we prepare our kids to want to stay here? And from the city council perspective, I think economic development is a huge aspect of that. How can we attract high paying jobs and industry here that our kids can have jobs that they can then afford to live here?
Have you heard, Jamie, now of the words Dixie Spirit? And what does that mean? Is Dixie Spirit still alive in Utah's Dixie, or is that passé?
No, I absolutely think that the Dixie Spirit is fundamental to St. George, and it's something that when I think about it, I think about our community ties and mm-hmm. our resiliency. I think it's something that has always been majorly important to the people and the residents that lived here, and I think it's ongoing, and it's not this fragile thing. I think it's kind of shown it's strong. It's endured some challenges and some setbacks, but I think through it, I think it's shown that there's a lot of perseverance there, and there's a lot of grit. I think people understand that when you live in the desert, you have to have that, and that's what the Dixie Spirit is for
both me. Both literally and figuratively.
Definitely,
you
yes. yes.
You talked about the volunteer spirit in your family, and that's part of it as well. And it sounds like to me, even though you haven't been here that long, that you bring your own spirit to the Dixie Spirit. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, cool. Volunteerism has been a huge part of me. When you move to a place, it's how do you assimilate? How do you get involved? How do you care about the place that you want to live? And I want to establish deep roots, and that's how you do it, is you jump in and get involved.
Now, St. George has been known to have big events. We've had the Ironman for many years, the St. George Marathon, in fact, the number 50 coming up next year, Huntsman World Senior Games. These events are great for tourism. They're great for bringing money into town, but they are also kind of an inconvenience to a lot of people. You got, you know, rerouting and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. How do you feel about these big events? Are they good for St. George, or are these things that are important for our future?
Yeah, I think they're really important. I think they're an economic driver to our community. We love having low property taxes here. And
oh, yes,
so,
we do.
Sales tax is huge. And so I think the more people we can attract here that want to come and spend their money and stay here and support our industry is great. So I think that it's everything in moderation. But I think the events that we've chosen, especially the PGA, I was just out there last week, right. Had a great time.
I forgot about that one, yeah.
Yeah, things like that.
I didn't forget, but yeah, I didn't mention it. So
yeah.
Very cool.
The Ironman, you know, that's no longer coming, but, you know, you've got the St. George Marathon, you've got the Senior Games, we have a robust system here that affords things for everybody of every age.
Very cool. Well, Jamie, it is, we've run out of time, but it's important now. People have their ballots. Most of us got them, you know, all of us got them at home, and we can just color in the little dots there and vote. Do you have any final thoughts for the voters that are looking at that ballot and looking at those dots?
Yeah, my recommendation would be to leave it to Leavitt on
leave
your ballot.
Leave it to Leavitt.
So, and don't mail in your ballot at this point. Drop
it's too
it
late.
Off.
Yeah,
it's too late. Leave it to Leavitt.
Very good. Jamie Leavitt here on the Andy Griffin Show. Thank you, Jamie.
Thanks
appreciate
so much,
it.
Andy.
Thanks
it was so fun talking to you.
All right, we'll take a weather break. When we come back, Greg Aldred will join me on the air here on the Andy Griffin Show.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Uh, 934 on KDXU. Greg Aldred is with me. He is running for city council as well. We heard Natalie. We heard Jamie. Now, Greg, how you doing, Greg?
Hey, good, Andy. I'm
good
doing well. As one pickleball player to another,
yeah.
I got to give a shout out to all my friends out there that play that game.
Your pickle people are listening right now, or are they on the court?
They're listening.
Okay, good.
I told them you got to hear your
folks.
Show. Hey, guys.
I want to come join you after I retire.
You should.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're glad we had some challenges. You with your ankle, it's healed up, so... Come and let's dink together, huh?
Let's dink together. Well, and I'm told, I haven't played the really good guys, the 4 or 5 guys.
Yeah.
But a friend of mine played the 4 or 5 guys, and he's like, they never give you an offensive opportunity. Every shot, you're playing defense the
if
whole
you
time.
Lift that ball up, slam. You're
oh,
done.
Yeah,
you cannot lift it. You got to keep it in the kitchen.
Greg, let's talk a little bit about city council now. First of all, tell us about yourself and tell us why you would make a good city councilman.
Okay, I'm Greg Aldred. Been here 40-plus years, raised 5 daughters. As those close to me know, we lost my daughter Sarah a couple years ago to stomach cancer. Miss her every day, cry for her, and then go forward. I think I'm the only candidate here, really, that is looking for sustainable growth. I mean... And some of us understand that the free market is important. I'm a capitalist myself. I'm a retired builder, actually. I haven't built anything last 8 years, but for my 2 daughters. And I think we need policy. You know, we can do things through policy to at least have these outside developers that are coming only for profit, but to make them pitch in part of their projects to our service industry. And I call it the 10% payback. From them, and we can have affordable housing, and it's not our duty, but we can make it for our service industry if we follow that policy, Andy. And that's just one of another little recommendation on policy for our power grids. To me, I want to protect your resources, but top of my list is as a taxpayer. That's who I represent. I don't represent the developers. I represent the people.
By the way, my buddies would bust chops. You had 5 daughters, no sons?
No, but I got a lot of grandsons.
Okay.
So, man, they are strong.
Yeah.
They are strong. Man, one helped me with the bed last week, and I was like, oh, man, I still hurt, but I'm glad he's
there. Yeah, I was going to say, by helping, he probably did the heavy, hardest stuff.
He did the heavy. Yeah. He just got back from the Navy. He did his term there, and then I have another grandson who just joined the Coast Guard, which is kind of fun.
Yeah,
so they're all doing their service, and they blessed me with 18 grandkids.
Amazing.
Isn't it?
Let's talk for a second. You mentioned it. Growth versus water.
Yeah.
We live in the desert, but St. George is one of the fastest growing cities in the country.
Yeah.
How do those things fit together? Because they're kind of opposite goals. Yeah. Do we have enough water? Do we have enough, you know, growth?
Well, I see at 3% of where we're growing right now, and Zach Realmsted does a good job over there with our Water Conservancy District, but we'll be out of water in 14 to 16 years. We have a lot of water out in the valley. It's full of sulfur, but we could do a desalination plant out there. I think that's where we should invest our money. I'm really on top of that. But not saying slow down, but we've outgrown our infrastructure. So we can, through policy, for an example, let's say we have a developer wants to build 1,000 homes here. He's mm-hmm. got to give 100 of those back. Wow. And we'd have an application like Farmers Home Loan, where they someone could actually apply for that, and they could not resell it, you know, do anything like that. They could maybe 2% profit on it. It worked for the Farmer Homes loans, and it'd be we'd have to fine-tune it. But these are things through policy we can do. We can't implement a 40-year mortgage for our young people to buy a home. Because right now what I see, Andy, is the market is for all outside money. Yeah. It's $600,000 homes. All the people that are coming from outside.
6% interest, there's no way.
And there's no way for our local kids and our grandkids. And so I have a plan to make that happen. And with the support of others, we can do that.
All right. Let me ask you about traffic now. I recently went to Salt Lake. It was crazy busy traffic-wise. Nothing. St. George has nothing like State Street in Salt Lake. But still, we do have our own traffic issues. Maybe if you'll address a little bit what can be done about our traffic issues, and then also maybe tap that off at the end, maybe talking about the Northern Corridor.
Okay. And what I've studied that, Andy. If we work with the Chamber of Commerce and some other local businesses, we can have an off time. Maybe somebody starts at 7 to 3, maybe 8 to 4, just to regulate some of that heavy traffic. But we need to work with our businesses and our employment industry to make that. And that would work. But what I'm excited about is these passenger drones. Cities are launching them. And we need to look to the future right now, because we need to look at how we're going to grid our upper sky area when people start utilizing this. I think that's a great solution.
Wow.
And then one more, like a monorail system that loops the city, maybe all the way to Zion's. I like the one that they're doing in Japan. It actually works on its own magnet resistance, and it's non-pollutant, but it gets people around. Anyway, you know, I'm a visionary.
I was going to say, that's innovative stuff, Greg.
Well, you know, I got Entrepreneur of the Year last year up in SUU through the state bank competition. I like to be a forethinker, and the good Lord's blessed me with that. There's always a solution. We just got to put our minds together.
All right. One of the problems is housing affordability versus wages here in southern Utah. I told the previous candidates, I said, look, I got five kids. Four of them had to move out of the area because they couldn't afford to buy a home here and live on these wages.
You nailed it. And I think that's why we adapt the 10% give back from these developers. 100 homes, 10 homes goes back to the service industry. At cost, we waive the impact fees. Now we're taking that home to $300,000 instead of $600,000. Our kids need to have a chance besides living in the backyard of your...
Yeah.
That was one of the city solutions. Yeah. And I kind of giggle at that because that was never my focus. No. And then I listened to your real estate earlier program, and they're talking about either got to die, divorce, or he called it the 5 D's.
Yeah, diamond. I didn't catch that. Yeah.
And I don't think that's a solution for our young people wanting to own a home here. And let's make that happen. If there's other cities listening, I'd love to share that with you. You can implement it as a whole county. Let's keep our kids and give them a chance to live here.
Very good. Very good. All right. Dixie Spirit, what does that mean to you? Is Dixie Spirit still alive? Should it be alive? Is it something that is passe? What do you think?
Yeah, the Dixie Spirit is all about service, and that's what it is. Some people try to paint it racially. You know, I mean, Nevada still has the Running Rebels. Back then, we took the Rebels down. And, you know, to me, I have a lot of friends that are named Dixie. I play pickleball with a gal named Dixie. I don't think she wants to change her name.
No.
If Dixie offends you, if you go to Dixie High School, it offends you, transfer over to Pineview. That's your solution. Don't take it so deeply into a racial issue, because racism just creates money for those who push hate. And we don't hate. We love here.
We love here. Yeah, good point. All right, let's. St. George is known to have some pretty big events. Of course, the Ironman has gone away, but we have the Black Desert, the PGA Golf Stop. We have the Marathon, the Huntsman World Senior Games. These events are very lucrative to the city. It helps keep taxes down, money, tourism comes in. But it's also a major pain in the neck for a lot of the local residents. What are your thoughts on these big events?
Well, the big events also, as a taxpayer, I've had some people say, well, shouldn't we get in those for free? They're our city. They're our events. At least let's have a half-price
local special, huh?
Yeah, local special by being here. Maybe that would make more people smile. But, you know, again, we look at this and our tourism tax and restaurant tax. Hey, we're already discovered. That big pot of gold that they get every year needs to be shared not only with others, but in our infrastructure and our roads too. That would be a solution by these big events, because they stay here, they use our water, they use our traffic, tear up our roads, so to speak. I'm happy they're here. There's no doubt about that. But again, as a taxpayer, you got to have some perks having those events there. Let's do that.
Well said. All right. I'm sitting here holding my, I'm not right now, but I'm sitting at home holding my ballot, and I'm looking over the four names for city council. One of them is Greg Aldred. Why should I color that little circle in for, or oval for Greg Aldred?
I think I'm the only candidate talking about policy. When you have a candidate that says, well, there's nothing we can really do about it, people out there, I do not want to be South Salt Lake. That's the highest crime rate in our state. Yeah. I'm going to protect your city, protect your taxes for sure. The city has some assets that we don't need to have. Our city should not be in the real estate business buying properties. Those come through bonds. Right. So let's make sure we never raise taxes. If any way, I will look at bringing that budget from $523 million, bringing that budget down and giving some tax relief back to our citizens.
Well said. I'm all for that. I like tax relief, Greg.
Thank you. Thank you, Andy.
He's Greg Aldred running for city council. Four people and two positions available. So it's Natalie, Jamie, Greg, and Michelle. And, Greg, best of luck in the upcoming election.
Thanks for having me on there. I'm the only guy running, so it'd be easy to find me.
Yeah, very good. Ready?
Thank you, Andy.
Greg
Aldred.
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate
you.
Take a commercial break. Be right back with Michelle Tanner.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
Welcome back, 947, just almost 948 here on KDXU. Michelle Tanner is with me. Michelle is an incumbent running for city council. There are four of you, and after Tuesday, there will be the two city council members again. Michelle is, actually did really well in the primary, right, Michelle?
I did, yes, thanks to all those amazing voters out there, top vote getter.
Do you think, I'm going to ask you this right up front, do you think that Michelle Tanner from 4 years ago and Michelle Tanner now are two different people as far as attitudes, or is it just a matter of you just learning as you're going?
So I've certainly learned a ton these last 4 years and bring that experience. What has not changed is my principles and the fact that I truly understand the proper role of government. And that's really a strong asset that I bring to the city council, is that deep understanding and putting principle over popularity. Now, what I have learned, you know, some people will say I maybe came in like the bull in the china shop when I first got elected. And I'll tell you, in a lot of ways, the city needed a little bit of that shakeup to get us back on track, which I believe we are back on track now. Still room for improvement, room to grow, which is why I'm running again. But one thing that's really a strength of mine now is those relationships, and learning that if we're going to get anything done, especially as one of five council members, we have to be able to work together. And so I feel like that's become a strength of mine now, is having positive relationships with really not even just local officials, but I think that's why I have the endorsement of Speaker of the House Mike Schultz and most of our local state representatives, is because I've cultivated those strong relationships.
I like what you said, though, where you said, look, maybe I did come in like a little bit of a bull in a china shop, but maybe that's what was needed at first, and then you could settle into really kind of working as a team. And that's key, right? I mean, you could go and you could oppose everything else the other four council people say, and guess what? You'd lose 4-1 every time, and that wouldn't accomplish anything.
Exactly, yeah. You have to know how to get things done when you're in these positions.
Very cool. All right, I'm going to ask you pretty close to the same questions I asked everyone else, and just kind of get your thoughts on it. Number one is, we have this kind of conflicting. We have growth, and then we have limited amount of resources, in particular water. When someone comes to you, Michelle, and says, we need to shut the door and not let anybody else move in here, what is your response?
I'm very pro-property rights. I'm not pro-growth or anti-growth. I am pro-property rights. And that's something that we have to understand, is there's nothing more American than our right to life, liberty, and property. And so to be able to tell someone that, no, you can't move here, or no, you can't develop your property, we would have to have some very compelling legal reasons restrict those property rights. So, you know, it's our responsibility. Obviously, we have to be responsible and make sure that, A, they're not infringing upon the freedoms, the protected freedoms of someone else. B, do we have the proper infrastructure in place? And if not, that needs to be put in place before that can be developed. And water, obviously, that's a huge resource that we have to assure that we have in order to develop. But aside from really those three things, there's not a lot we can do or say to prevent people from exercising their protected rights.
Very well said. All right. If you've been to Salt Lake lately, you know the traffic there is nutsoid. If you've been to California, same thing. St. George is starting to develop some traffic issues and traffic problems. As a city council person, what would be your answer to try to help manage that? And then if you'll cap that off, maybe talk a little bit about the Northern Corridor.
Yeah, a lot of our big projects that were funded in this last budget, capital projects, were related to our roadways with expanding 3000 East, mm-hmm. working on getting a bridge put over that George Washington Boulevard. Right. Connectivity is key. It is difficult here because of our topography and, you know, getting around the rivers and mesas and things like that, but neighborhood commercial has been something else that we've focused on in recent years that I think has been helpful to make it so people don't have to travel quite as far for some of those basic necessities. But certainly traffic is always something that we have to be looking for solutions on. And in terms of the Northern Corridor, I believe it will go through. I mean, it was approved under the previous Trump administration. So this has been a very long, drawn out process. It's going to protect Zone 6, which I'm all about protecting that open space. And by the way, we do need a Charlie Kirk Memorial Highway somewhere in this town, whether it's Southern Parkway, Northern Corridor. I don't care, but we need it here in Southern Utah.
All right. I like to hear that. I agree with you. Okay. I have five kids. My family's older than yours. My kids are all grown up now, but four of the five had to move out of here. They had to move away because they couldn't afford to live in St. George. Between the combination of high housing prices and the interest rate and then low wages, they had to go. Michelle, is there an answer to that? Is it more affordable housing? I don't know. What are your thoughts there?
Free market is definitely the key here. I love to see more competition coming in mm-hmm. when it comes to some of our big industries here that people work in. When you get these monopolies, it's easier to keep wages lower.
Yeah,
we are a desirable place to live. Obviously, people want to be here, which is a great thing. But I'm all about the free market and allowing that competition to come in. Things as a city council, I think other council members mentioned this, the accessory dwelling units, allowing people to utilize their properties to create more units within their properties, I think can be helpful to allow at least some temporary housing until people can maybe save up and afford homes here. Right. But really the best thing we can do is get the government out of the way, cut the red tape, remove regulations as much as we reasonably can, because we all know the more hoops people have to jump through in order to develop their property and actually accommodate the free market, those prices just go up every single month that we're holding up that process.
Very true. All right. The word Dixie Spirit, what does that mean to you? What is the Dixie Spirit? And is it still alive or is this a passé thought?
It is alive and well. In fact, I love, as part of the Dixie Interpretive Trail, each of us council members and mayor got to put a plaque with our definition of the Dixie Spirit.
Nice.
And mine was along the lines of, it is the grit, the patriotism that brings us together to thrive as individuals, as families, and as community. And absolutely, it's alive and well here in Utah's Dixie.
Very cool. All right. St. George has been known to host some big events. We've had the Ironman for years and years, the Huntsman World Senior Games, the St. George Marathon, 50th next year, by the way. And, of course, now we have the big old PGA event out there at Black Desert, not in St. George, but it'll bring a lot of people to St. George. Do you like these big events? I've had people say, yeah, it's worth the inconvenience to have the taxes. Maybe taxes not be as big, but it is a lot of times very major inconvenience. What do you think about the big events?
It varies on the event, but overall, it is a benefit to the community. The St. George Marathon, for instance, I mean, 50 years next year. Mm-hmm. It's a huge part of who I am today. Growing up here, yeah. I finished my first St. George Marathon at 12 years old because
really?
I was so inspired by the runners at the finish line of all ages, shapes, and sizes. And then I went on to run 10 in a row because I thought it would be so cool to be the youngest person in the 10-year club. And
it taught
me. I was, yeah. And it taught me so many valuable lessons of, I can do hard things. I can endure. And I think of that sense of community that these events bring that shaped my childhood.
Yeah.
I think it's overall a great benefit to the community and our youth especially.
I wish you'd have been around set when the marathon was here this last month. I was like, man, I need some guests that have that very same attitude. I like that. That's really cool. Would have enhanced the broadcast. But
next time you're leaving us.
I might still do marathon. Maybe I'm still doing sports, so there is that.
Okay, good.
All right, Michelle, people have their ballots in front of them now. A lot of them, they're like, okay, I got four people. There's four little ovals, and I can only color in two of them. Why would they color in Michelle Tanner? What's the biggest reason, do you think?
We need leadership, and I have proven to be that leader, to be sometimes the lone voice to speak up first when things are not right. I look at my experience going through COVID as a nurse practitioner and speaking up against the mandates when it wasn't popular. I'm not afraid to speak up when I know there's government overreach going on. I was the first to speak up against the tax increase, the first to vote no and say absolutely not. Are we putting public safety last? Public safety is coming first. We are funding them first, and we're going to do it without raising taxes, which we have successfully done, as well as continue to decrease the percentage of our budget increase since Natalie Larson and I got on the council almost 4 years ago now. So we need that proven leadership. So Mark, Michelle, Tanner on that ballot.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, Michelle, first of all, thanks for coming in. Second of all, congratulations. I guess, when are you due? Is that out
February,
yet?
February, yes.
It's going to be a little boy. Do we have
little
a name
boy.
Yet?
Or
I'm not allowed to say it out loud.
I'm still working on that. Okay. I can think of all the girl names in the world, but, you know, boy names are tough. So those listening, if you have some great boy names, send them my way.
My son and daughter-in-law are also due in February for their second kid.
Congratulations.
And do you have a name? Because they know it's a girl. They said, oh, yeah, we have a name. I said, okay, what is it? They said, we're not telling you.
They don't want the, we don't like that name, or I know someone with that name, and they're a terrible person.
Yeah. Their first daughter, their first kid is named Imogene, and they call her Little Mo.
So, oh, that's cute.
That's really cute. She's really sweet. So, well, gosh, Michelle, it seems like, how many times have you been on the show? Three or four times now?
I think so, yeah.
And it's always refreshing to have you on because I get in trouble for this sometimes in sports, tell it like it is. You know, if a guy made a stupid play, I'd say it. And a lot of people, you can't say that about a kid. Well, sometimes I do and I get in trouble. You're one of those tell it like it is people. I like that.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that about you, too. We need that.
We've run out of time. Michelle Tanner, again, one of four candidates. And thanks again to Natalie, to Jamie, to Greg, and now Michelle for coming on and just kind of sharing a little bit about yourselves and get that ballot in and remind people, don't mail it now.
Do not mail it. Take it in person or vote in person because we need your vote to count by Tuesday. It's coming up. 5 days.
Yeah, let's get some people out voting. You know, this is one of those, I guess they call the off years or whatever, where, you know, you don't have the presidential election going on and stuff. A lot of people aren't thinking about that. But I think it's a great time of year to exercise your Americanism.
Right? It's the most important, impactful vote that you have are these municipal races. They have at times come down to four votes. So it matters.
Wow. Michelle Tanner, thank you so much for coming on today. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you.
We are out of time. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and go to National now. I will be back tomorrow. Tomorrow, Fred Walker's going to come in. We're going to do our annual Monster Mash live on the air, and we'll have a lot of fun stuff to talk about, including favorite candy. By the way, Michelle, favorite candy?
Ooh, I'm going to have to go with Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Yeah, that's right there, too. Yeah. Although, Reese's Sticks. Have you ever tried the Reese's Sticks?
I don't think so. Pretty good.
Yeah, they're kind of like a Kit Kat Reese's combination thing.
That would be good stuff.
So, anyway, I'll be back tomorrow. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks again, Natalie.
Michelle.
Michelle, sorry.